Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, recording on Sunday, March 31st, 2024. For your April Fool's Day listening pleasure. My guests today are Ben Kalita, Gabe Malika, and Samantha Ruddy. Hello.
Hi, Doug.
Doug, what's up?
Hey, Doug.
Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically by first name, which in today's case is the same as alphabetically by last name. It just worked out that way. It might be a first. He is going to be appearing with me Sunday night, April 7th at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California. It's Ben Kalita. Happy New Year, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Are you psyched for Sunday?
I am. I'm all juiced up for it. I've been getting
right?
pumped.
Oh, good. I always try to get my support acts to hit the gym. And also inject stuff into their bodies just to get ripped and ready.
Doing it Bash Brothers style.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds fun.
It's a steroid reference.
Okay. I'll take it. He has a solo show about friendship called Solo, a show about friendship. It's Gabe Malika. Happy New Year, Gabe.
Happy New Year, Doug. It's nice to be back.
Are you doing anything special today for Easter?
Yeah, I had to do Doug Loves Movies at 5, so Mom had dinner ready at 3:30. It's a real Italian fest over here.
Did you really have to bump up the whole meal just to do this?
Yeah, oh yeah. Mom was ready to go. She was like, half hour earlier, I got it.
I love that. It really sounds like, Moonstruck, but it takes place now.
Absolute Moonstruck vibes in the Malika house.
That's the one thing that's missing from the classic Moonstruck is somebody saying they need to schedule a podcast.
And my dad having to go back recording. To the office. It's a big day over here.
Yeah. And with a new special coming out on May 28th, Samantha Ruddy is here. Hey, Samantha.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me. Thrilled to be here.
Oh, happy New Year. I almost forgot. Wouldn't that be funny if I decided to stop saying Happy New Year? That's when I gave up on it for the year, is in between one intro and another. Tell us about your special. I know it's coming out like a couple months, May 28th, kind of far off, but you never know when somebody's going to listen to an episode of a podcast. So tell us all about it now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get the general awareness out there. I have a special called Baseball Mom that I filmed last year in Los Angeles at 4 p.m. on, I believe, Passover. So, you know, it was a fight, but I'm so proud of how it came out, and I'm really excited for people to watch it. So May 28th, Baseball Mom, it's going to be available for purchase on like Apple TV, Amazon, etc.
I love it. And, you know, you never know, like if you hit a winning streak here on the show, you could still be appearing, you know, on episodes all the way through the release of the special.
That's my long game.
Yeah. I know you've had a long run in the past, so it's not inconceivable, as Wallace Shawn would say.
I'm just trying to get past the sophomore slump, you know, my second run at Doug Loves Movies. Let's see if we can recreate the magic.
Yeah, exactly. Before we play some games today, I'd like to get some recommendations from everybody. I'd like each one of you to just recommend one movie. It could be old, new, borrowed, blue, whatever. Ben Kalina, do you have a motion picture experience you'd like to recommend?
I do. It's actually one that I've been meaning to watch again because I think it just added it to Netflix, but Mr. America, the Tim Heidecker movie where he goes on trial. It's very funny.
Oh my goodness. Tim Heidecker. Boy, that guy, whenever he shows up anywhere, you know, on stage or in a movie or TV show, you're not sure what you're going to get, but it's probably going to be hilarious and definitely potentially misunderstood.
For sure.
Is this guy really wanting us to hate him this much? Tell us more about this one. I have not seen this one yet. It's called Mr. America.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like a reality TV style documentary about him going on trial for accidentally killing people at a music festival. Running for office at the same time. It's really ridiculous and just, I don't know, super insane.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm excited that it is on Netflix or wherever it happens to be, because I am a fan of that guy. I saw him, I did a benefit a while back where he, you know, he did a stand-up set, and his stand-up was just like every cliche and every shitty attitude that a comic takes on when jokes aren't working. Like he had it all, and it was so damn funny. I love that guy. And he did, I had him on when I was doing the Dining with Doug and Karen podcast, where we'd sit and get a free meal and just talk about it. I had him on as a guest one time, and he could not have been more nice and polite and charming. And like, you know what I mean? It's like, there's some people, they get a reputation, and when they show up and they do that, you're like, well, wait a second. This isn't the Steve O I ordered. When are you going to put something in your butt? but anyway, great choice. I'm going to check it out. Gabe Malika, what have you got to recommend?
This week I rewatched Burn After Reading, the Coen Brothers movie.
Okay.
And it made me think that, and this is high praise, but it made me think that it was the spiritual successor to The Big Lebowski. In that, like, it's like a heist kind of thing, or like there's like a big mystery, and it's just like the world's dumbest people. And I have a new appreciation for this movie, even like it feels underrated, even though there's huge movie stars in it in this weird way.
Well, speaking of dumb people, as you were saying that, I write down what your picks are, and I actually wrote down Burn After Burning. Bird After Reading is one of those movies where, for me personally, it's a little hobbled by the fact that the first scene and the last scene of the movie are the two funniest scenes in the entire movie. Because it's J.K. Simmons and David Rasha as two, like, they're like FBI guys or CIA or something.
Yeah.
And just discussing what you're about to see and then wrapping it up at the end. And it's both those parts of it are really funny. I'm just like, I don't like when an overweight person or a gay person plays an overweight or gay person in a movie now, like when there's plenty of people that could just play the role, or like, you know, Colin Farrell's playing ugly people when there's plenty of those, you know, be handsome Colin Farrell in movies, what I say. But that being said, Brad Pitt and George Clooney, when, especially George Clooney, when he plays dumb, I don't buy it.
Sure, because you want to believe.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
I can't look at George Clooney and go, "Yeah, he's a dumb guy." Okay, got it. That's dumb guy George.
Sure. Well, Frances McDormand's so worried about being attractive in the movie, and she's sleeping with George Clooney. I'm like, you're hot enough to get George Clooney. Like, what is the issue?
Yeah. So her character is really dumb, but I've been like vaguely checking into this thing that's happening now where the Coen brothers are making movies separate from each other all of a sudden. And I don't love the result in either case. And so I'm wondering if they're forever not making films together, or if they're going to come back, you know, come in and out of it, like do solo films and come back together. Cause they're not big on interviews and explaining what they're up to, you know?
Yeah.
So there's
not
much evidence to suggest one way or the other. Like, I don't think they had a fight, but they definitely made two very different kinds of movies.
I wonder if it's a Hall and Oates style feud.
Yeah, I don't know. Or if the one brother, the one that did the Shakespeare, he did the Denzel Washington, Francis McDormand Shakespeare movie. And the other one did a lesbian road comedy. So that kind of shows a divide right there, I guess, of where their interests lie. Anyway, I'll investigate that further, but thank you for that recommendation. Samantha,
what's the lesbian road trip comedy for my files?
I already forgot what it's called. It's got
it's Kristen Stewart, right?
It's Kristen Stewart and Margaret Qualley, and Kristen Stewart's in another thing called
That's right, it's Margaret
Qualley. I just saw Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah. No, this is Margaret Qualley and an actress who I can't think of her name, but it's like a road trip. They, you know, accidentally murder a guy or something. And it's got real Coen Brothers kind of wackiness, but also it's very lesbian forward, or
lesbian forward rules.
However you'd like to describe.
That was great. I'm gonna find it. Maybe it's Drive Away Dolls, Ryan. I'm gonna get to the bottom.
That's it. That's what it's called.
Oh, cool.
Drive Away Dolls. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, my movie. I did see Love Lies Bleeding yesterday, but I'm still digesting it. So I'm gonna go with a very safe recommendation. I love The Holdovers so much, and I have not been on Doug Loves Movies since I watched it. So okay. I'm plugging The Holdovers.
That movie's really, really hits with people because it does get recommended before and after and during award season. It's kept coming up, so it really sticks with people.
I loved it. I love a period piece that's set in the 70s, 80s, or 90s. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but I said it. They are technically period pieces, I love a good coming of age story. So it was a great hit for me.
It was an interesting movie for me because I heard so much about it without having seen it. I was really late to watch it. And, you know, once I finally did, I certainly regretted not seeing it in the theater because I think the laughter of an audience would make that movie less bleak than it was at home.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I get that.
Like the laugh lines weren't making me laugh out loud. I was just sort of saddened by the whole situation.
I understand that. I did not take that away from it, but I watched with someone who was like, "Oh, that was a tragic tale."
Yeah, no, it's funny. It people are reacting to it differently, and that's part of, I think, what makes it great. I also just had a hard time getting over, like, I was like, have Paul Giamatti's eyes always been this crazy, or
yeah,
is this a special effect? Like, what, you know? And then to have other characters insulting, you know, making fun of his eyes, I was just like, damn, like, is this a new direction? Giamatti's just gonna be that guy with the crazy eyes? But no, it's contact lenses, I guess. That were very painful for him to wear. So I, you know, okay, there you go. That explains the grouchiness. Like, what great way to get into character, painful contact lenses.
Yeah, his method.
Yeah.
I wonder if Buscemi did that to play Crazy Eyes in Mr. Deeds. That's the real question.
Same technology.
Yeah. Probably called him up.
Steve Buscemi just showed up in an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm as, like, you know, Frank, you know, Wilberger, like just with a made up name, but could easily be playing, you know, the Steve Buscemi that you'd see on a show like Curb, which is like somebody who would just get into an argument with Larry the way Ted Danson does. But then you got Vince Vaughn running around playing a Funkhauser, and Tracy Ullman as another, like, the show, whenever a famous person walks onto screen, you don't know if they're going to be themselves or a character.
Yeah.
And either way, the mix, I don't care for it. I wish they didn't do that.
Yeah, I felt like Buscemi's too famous to be doing that with.
In a show where people are playing themselves, yeah. A lot. You know, it's weird to have, because also it's a funny scenario because he's like selling a fancy old car to Richard Lewis, rest in peace. And but it's still like, it was just so funny to just think, well, he could have just been, because Ted Danson, you know, gets into arguments with Larry David on the show all the time, and Ted Danson's not worried about people thinking that's what he's really like. But anyway, that's my current minor beef in a world with much bigger issues. thank you for those recommendations. We got to take a break, but when we come back, games, we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back, and the first game we're going to play today is a fan favorite called ABCD's Nuts. And this is a game where I will tell you what we are spelling today, and then you will take turns starting with the first letter of what we are spelling. We'll start with Ben. He'll name a movie that begins with that letter, any movie from the history of motion pictures. And then if it matches the movie I've written down in advance, then you win. Obviously, that'd be hard to pull off on your first go, but you never know when it's going to happen. And then and then we move on to Gabe gets the next letter, and then Sam, and I'll keep telling you what letter it is, so you don't have to worry too much about skipping ahead and figuring that out. And there is a theme that will emerge after you start to hear a few titles. I hope maybe this one is a tough one, but we'll see. The season is here. In fact, it's April Fool's Day, so that's what we're going to spell. April Fool's Day. So that means the first letter is A. Ben, start us off. Name any movie that begins with A. If you match me, boy, well, that would be an Easter miracle right there.
Movie that begins with A. Alpha's in a movie. Shit.
It's wild that it hasn't been turned into a movie.
Maybe it should Greta be a movie,
Gerwig,
man.
Greta Gerwig should tackle that next.
I'd like to see A Few Good Men. Oh, that's an A.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, you actually a movie for the letter A. I went with a different film, a motion picture called About Time.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a time travel thing with Donald Gleason and Rachel McAdams.
All right.
All right, so that's all you have to go on now for the next letter, which goes to Gabe. Gabe, the letter is P because we're spelling April Fool's Day. So give me any movie that begins with P that you think has some sort of thematic connection with the movie About Time.
About Time. I'm going to say Peter Pan.
Oh, that's a fantastic guess. Because there's, you know, there's things about like aging and time in both of those works. But no, that is not the answer I'm looking for. Okay. I'm looking for the motion picture is just up for a few Oscars. Past Lives.
Hmm.
Okay, so we got About Time and Past Lives, and R is the next letter for Samantha. What do you got?
Rear Window.
Ooh, love it. Great, great movie starring Steve Guttenberg. That was like a ripoff of Rear Window that starred Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, I was thinking Rear Window just because he's observing multiple lives.
Oh, I like
also,
it.
Also, I was kind of blanking on R, and I was like, maybe, you know?
Yeah, no, it was a decent stab. But the movie that I wrote down, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh.
Yeah. What's that about? Back to you, Ben, with the letter I.
All right. How about Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Oh, my God. That would have been so fun. That would have been a great win for you if that had worked out in your favor. But that is not what I wrote down. I wrote down a motion picture called Ice Age.
Good one. I've seen that.
They've made like how many Ice Age movies are there now? Five?
I think so.
Four? Like, I don't even, in my own games, I insist that people get the subtitles right, but I couldn't tell you the subtitles of all the Ice Age movies. I think one of them is Collision Course, maybe. Another one is Give Me Back Those Nuts.
Is it really called that?
No, I don't think so. Ice Age 3, Give Me Back Those Nuts. Does anybody know any of the other Ice Age movie subtitles?
Ice Age, The Meltdown?
Yes, Meltdown. Any other ones? Go North. and prosper. I can't think of any other ones. But I know, I'm pretty sure they all had them. You know, like the Toy Story movies, they just do numbers. They don't fuck with the subtitles.
That's right. Pixar is usually a little cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other studios, they go crazy.
Yeah, it really is weird. Okay. What was the? What letter are we on? What's happening? L. L is the next letter. And it goes to Gabe.
I'm going to say La La Land.
Where's my... Hang on a second. That is the correct... That is the matching answer. Oh. La La Land is what I wrote down.
Nice.
For reals. Can you believe that? Ben, are you stunned?
I'm amazed.
Samantha, do you feel like it was rigged or something?
A little bit.
What did you think? Did you think of a movie for L in your own head?
No, I didn't. I knew I was going to be F, so I was trying to think of F.
What F did you come up with?
Freaky Friday.
Oh, dang.
Ooh, that's good.
I thought it would have been so amazing if we matched two in a row. But the F that I had was Fargo.
Oh, okay.
Fargo, yeah. And then for O, I went with O, starring Mekhi Phifer. I think he was in that. It was Shakespeare, but, you know, modern Shakespeare called O. And then I couldn't, for the next O in Fools, I really couldn't think of another O movie that fit the themes as well as this one. So I just went with O again. And then
I would have been so mad if we had gone to the end and it was O again.
Hey, you just gotta, the next person can come in and guess, well, what about O again? You know,
what if they made a sequel to O called O again?
Oh no again.
And that's the same thing happened for L, as I just went with La La Land a second time. giving everybody a second chance at that one. And then for S, I picked Saltburn. And for D, Damsel, this new movie with Millie Bobby Brown from TV, from Netflix. And then Stranger Things. And then for A, I went with About Time again, because it's just such a perfect answer. I was really determined for somebody to win this thing. And then for Y, I went with Year One, the comedy that I keep hearing is underrated, like it was a bomb at the time.
Is that with Michael Cera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jack Black, and it was probably the last film directed by, I want to say, who was it? I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, anybody got the theme figured out?
Is O's?
What? O's? Movies with O's in them, like La La Land.
It's like multiple timelines, right?
It's like the dumbest timelines. You are gonna hate me. The theme is April Fools. There is nothing.
Oh my god!
I'm gonna lose it. Damn. I'm gonna lose it. But, oh my god! That's actually, why you're so shocked when Ben won.
Yeah, no, there really wasn't. There is a theme. I think he said La La Land just because I not to take away from your win. It was Gabe that said it, right?
Yes,
yeah. It was.
Yeah, not to take
Gabe,
away
I'm
from
so
Gabe,
sorry.
Not to take away from Gabe's win, but you know, when you said think of a movie that begins with L, you start going, it just is right there. I feel, but
yeah, I almost said Little Giants, which would have been embarrassing.
Yeah, see, that would have been like, what are you even doing? No, but I'm kidding about there not be, I knew it'd be funny to say that it was an April Fool's joke that there wasn't a theme, but there genuinely is a theme, but it's insanely hard to suss out theme because it's movies that would have been like probably the, you know, biggest, most popular known movie to be like at the very beginning of its letter of the alphabet when alphabetized. So like if you were looking for these movies alphabetically, if you just started at A, you'd, About Time would be one of the first titles you get to. Like there'd be other ones, that, like there's a movie called Aardvark, but who even knows what the hell that is. So I wanted you to have a chance of matching. So that's what it is. It's all movies that come up very early in the alphabet, in the letter that they start with, which is, you know, why would any of you figure that out? That would be really impressive. Figuring out my dumb stoner mind. All right. We got one more game to play. That was just a warm up. This next one is going to make even less sense and be more infuriating.
I can't wait.
We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back, and so who ended up winning that game? Gabe won that game. He won the first game. And, you know, let's see if he can two-peat, as we like to say in sports, because he's got one more game to win, the final and second game that determines who becomes a champion and goes on to compete again sooner than the other players, who are of course invited back like pretty much whenever they want to come back. All right, so that means that Gabe gets to go first in our next game, and so the order flips around. So it's gonna go Gabe's gonna start, then we'll go to Ben, and then we'll go to Samantha in a new game I just created. This is another one that's seasonal. I say, why fight March Madness, you know, when you can become a part of the problem? And this game is called Brackets Schmackets. Or take these brackets and shove it. Any kind of disparaging expression involving brackets. Because everybody's, you know, bragging about making their damn brackets for the college basketball, the children's basketball games. And so I wanted to be a part of the madness. So here's how this game works. We're going to go through four groups, three each, of motion pictures about basketball that are considered to be amongst the best in the genre of basketball films. With each group, each one of you is going to pick a movie that you think, when a poll was run on X, formerly Twitter, which movie came out on top in a flash poll, if you will. And then I'll explain how this works as we go along further. But the idea is you want to get the right answer each time, because you get eliminated if you don't. And you can pick the same answer with other people if you want, but strategically you might want to change things up at some point. Let's start with group one, the three films, and you can ask me questions about the films. I may or may not have seen them, but I know enough about them to tell you what they are. The three films are Coach Carter, Hustle, and The Way Back. So you got like a Sam Jackson, a Adam Sandler, and a serious Adam Sandler, or more serious than a lot of his movies. And then The Way Back is Ben Affleck. So, starting with Gabe, which one of those do you think would win in a poll, best basketball movie?
And this is, yeah, this is tough because I know which one I like the best, but I got to figure out what right. other people like. I'm going to say Hustle.
Okay, so Gabe's going Hustle. And then that we bring it over to Ben. What do you think, Ben? Nope. You can also pick Hustle if you feel okay. as strongly as Gabe does.
Can I ask like a clarifying question?
Mm-hmm.
Is Shaq in any of these movies?
I don't think he is.
But I think he might make a cameo appearance in Hustle, so I'm going to go with Hustle.
He might? Yeah, he might. That's an excellent point.
I'm going all with right. the Shaq theory.
Okay.
If Shaq was in right. it, it's popular.
I like it. All right, so that leaves Samantha. What do you think between Coach Carter, Hustle, and The Way Back?
Crowd favorite here is going to be Coach Carter.
That's your pick, Coach Carter?
Yeah.
You're not going with these other fools with their Hustle?
I don't think it's Hustle.
I like Coach Carter the best, for sure.
I think other people will agree
that
with you.
That doesn't count for anything. Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of other people are going to agree with you. All right, so I knew this was going to be an interesting game that I created because you just don't know, you know, what's going to happen, but you know, you try to plan it out so that it'll all come together. And in this particular case, the movie that's moving on in the brackets is a little something called Coach Carter. Samantha is the only one of the three of you to get that right and to move on. Now, here's where there's a twist. If at any point as we move through the brackets, at any point Samantha misses, then it's a reset and all three players, we continue on through the brackets with all three players, but let's see how far Ooh. Samantha can get on just on Samantha's knowledge alone. You don't have anyone with you there, do you, Samantha?
No, I do not. I'm very alone, Doug. Okay. Some would say too alone for an Easter Sunday.
Oh, no. All right. Group two. From these three films, which one do you think is the most popular, is the best basketball movie, according to randos? Is it Air, another Ben Affleck thing? Glory Road, featuring that guy who's the voice of Home Depot, and then Josh Lucas. And then White Men Can't Jump with Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes and...
Yeah, I'm going to go White Man
Rosie
Can't Jump.
Rosie Perez. You go on White Man Can't Jump? Well, guess what? There's no reason to belabor this, but yes, indeed, that's what people chose. White Man Can't Jump.
Nice.
All right. We're rocking.
Air was interesting. I didn't get around to seeing it.
I didn't like it.
It came out. Everyone was raving about it. Like, it was the best thing ever. And I was like, there's no way that this story that we all know exactly what happened. There's no way they can make it that amazing. And then as award season came and went, like, it ended up getting nothing. Like, it was really the darling of the first part of last year. So you didn't like it, Samantha?
I thought it was boring, and I say that as someone who loves sneakers. I just thought it was too dry.
Yeah, just a bunch of men sitting around discussing how they can sell more sneakers.
It was so much talking and so little doing.
All right. So congratulations on you're still moving forward without the other two players. Let's see how you could do with group three. The three options are He Got Game, which is Denzel, Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell, and Blue Chips with Nick Nolte. Which I was disappointed with because I just thought it was going to be a movie about Mexican food, Blue Chips. Because I love a good blue corn chip tortilla.
Flying JetBlue.
Heck's really in that one.
Is that why the chips are blue on JetBlue?
It's got to be, right?
Oh, that makes sense.
Because I just thought it was an excellent chip to choose in general, but I never put it together that they're... All right.
Okay. I am...
Which one of those three do you think?
So I'm trying to think of, like, what do people have an emotional connection to? And I know that my little brother went as a Tropics player for Halloween a couple years in a row. I think there is a crowd out there for semi-pro. I'm going to go with that.
You're going semi-pro?
I'm going semi-pro.
Okay. Could you tell from the disappointment in my voice when I asked you that?
No, I'm wrong. Could you detect it?
Yeah.
No.
It went to blue chips.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bummer.
What are you going to do? I don't know what to make of that necessarily. But obviously, three choices that ended up coming very close together, like they're all three percentage wise, were like in the 30s, but blue chips won out with 36% of the vote, I believe.
That does make me feel a little better.
Yeah, it was close. It was very close. Okay, so now all the players are back in. We're starting with Gabe once again. And Gabe, you get first crack at group four. And as you can imagine, the brackets are going to start to thin down till we are going to reveal and discover what is factually now the best basketball movie of all time. For anyone who needs a basketball movie to watch when they're busy watching all this basketball. All right. Hoosiers. Basketball, Hoosiers was of course Gene Hackman. Basketball with the dudes from South Park, and Space Jam.
Oh
wow!
Classics all in their own ways.
Yeah. Well, okay. when I met Bill Murray one time at a restaurant, I thanked him for being in Space Jam, and it's I didn't go with my heart last time, and it cost me, and so I'm going to say Space Jam.
Has the movie Space Jam ever come up in conversation near you, and you didn't say that happened?
No, it's now my fun fact. Bill Murray, right? Anything in the orbit of this movie.
It's just fun. Everybody has some. You know, there's just some, like, they kind of trigger a story when a certain movie comes up, all right. So, but you're going with your heart saying Space Jam. Let's see what Ben thinks. What do you think between Hoosiers Basketball and Space Jam?
I guess so far X thing is proven true because he was in blue chips. I don't think he was in Space. Still going to go with Space Jam, though.
Okay. That's fair.
I hate to jump on board, but I'm also going Space Jam.
All three of you say Space Jam. Wow. That is an interesting development, and it's absolutely what I would have thought was going to happen, because people have... They have a very strange, to me anyway, a strange fondness for that movie. And I guess the new Space Jam just really kicked those people in the gut, because it really, like, was was bad in all new and special ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it just was like, well, you didn't even do what I assume they set out to do, was fix what was wrong with Space Jam. And it turns out what's wrong with it is what people love about it. You know what I mean? Okay, so you're a big Space Jam fan, right, Gabe?
Yeah, I would say so. And acknowledging its flaws.
Yeah, but you know those little weird characters that hang out in the movie that they look like little germs or something?
Before they become the Monstars, for sure.
Yeah. What are they called? What are their names?
That's a great question. They become the Monstars. Before that, I don't know if they have names.
They do.
Do they?
They have names because they have, they have dumb names for when they aren't the Monstars yet, like Squiggles and Fart Breath and stuff like that. Anyway, I don't know what they're called either, but it's just funny. Like, even someone who's fond of that movie, I don't think those characters caught on in any way. I used to have, like, I think I still do in a drawer somewhere. I used to have, there were stuffed versions of those characters that I think they thought were going to be huge sellers. And then, you know, nobody cares. okay. So all that being said, the answer is Hoosiers.
Damn.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah. They were in Hoosiers. So now we've narrowed it down to, we've got four movies, and so two more brackets to narrow it down to two movies, and then of course finally a winner. So we're all back in it again. We all get to weigh in on this next one, starting with Gabe. Coach Carter versus White Men Can't Jump. Which one? In a new vote, a separate vote. This isn't based on the numbers they got against other movies. This is just head-to-head. Coach Carter versus White Men Can't Jump. Which one takes it?
Got it. I'm going to say Gabe. White Men Can't Jump.
Gabe's going strangely. He's sticking with his own kind. And he's going with the white men. What about you, Ben?
We go Coach Carter.
I like it. Mixing things up a little bit. Samantha.
I'm going Coach Carter as well.
Well, this is a crazy development, because head-to-head, White Men Can't Jump trounced Coach Carter. And so that means that... who said White Men Can't Jump?
That was Gabe? Me.
Gabe said it. So Gabe, you're back to being, or you weren't there before, but you're now going solo on this next one. If you miss it, everybody gets a chance at the win, but if you get it right, you could go all the way. Are you ready?
Okay, I am ready.
Do you remember which two movies this would be?
No, my brain is broken.
It's between Blue Chips and Hoosiers.
Oh, goodness. Goodness
gracious. Which one do you think the people that have already thus far anointed White Men Can't Jump over Coach Carter?
Yeah.
What does that tell you in the matchup between Blue Chips and Hoosiers?
You know, Doug, I can't tell if you're playing with me, because I really, before you said that, I was sure it was Hoosiers, and now I'm not sure. I'm gonna say Hoosiers.
You're gonna stick with Hoosiers.
Yes.
Taking down Blue Chips, which was like, wasn't it like directed by like William Friedkin or something? It was an intense basketball movie with Nick Nolte screaming and spitting everywhere.
Yeah.
And but I don't remember much else about it. Hoosiers, of course, not only starred the great Gene Hackman, but also we got the dirt on some past episodes of with the director of Hoosiers and the writer of Hoosiers both did not care for Mr. Gene Hackman one bit.
Really?
Yeah. That was some juicy ass tea that we got. They did not care for that man. And I've heard other stories. So great actor, but Jerry's still out on if he's a horror to be around. But he sure is. He sure gives Hoosiers a lot of heart, even though he gave the writer of the film and the director of the film a very hard time, and probably cases of heartburn. But in this matchup with Blue Chips, Hoosiers is indeed the winner. Hoosiers is the winner. Now, Gabe, just for fun, because you're our winner today officially, but just for fun, between White Men Can't Jump and Hoosiers, what is officially, I mean, we could rubber stamp this, it's official, which is the best basketball movie?
I think,
according to like 50 or 60 people who answered a poll at like 8 this morning.
Yeah, I had to learn about the voting body before in the vibe. It's, I feel like the registered voters, I feel like it's got to be white man can't jump.
That's your final
answer.
Decision. Do you agree with that? Do you prefer white man can't jump over Hoosiers?
I do. Rosie Perez is incredible.
She is, but then the last part of White Man Can't Jump becomes a movie about someone being on Jeopardy. It doesn't have anything to do with basketball.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Hoosiers, they don't run off, you know, to Price is Right, you know, after winning the big game.
Win enough money to redo the gym.
But yes, White Man Can't Jump is, of course, in a poll of individuals. I just think when you think of basketball movies, it's just hard not to have White Man Can't Jump pop into your brain. So it finished 65% of the vote over 35% for Hoosiers. And then between those two movies, neither one of them got much Oscar love, even though they're both, I think, thought of as classics. Hoosiers got two nominations and didn't win either. For supporting actor Dennis Hopper and his crazy top hat. And you knew he was drunk because he wore a top hat. And then best score. It was up for best score, but didn't win that. His score, though, is a funny word for a sports movie. But then Hoosiers did not score at the Oscars. And then White Man Can't Jump, no love at the Oscars, zero nominations, and get not anything. Like, I think there was maybe people were really hoping for a Rosie Perez supporting actress nom, which I feel like she probably would have deserved. I don't know who actually did get nominated that year, but congratulations.
Academy's had an anti-hoops bias.
Right. I think they were, the world's had an anti-hoop bias because it really, once all those basketball movies, like, as soon as I mentioned basketball movies on X, somebody jumped in and goes, you got to include the, what was that Air Bud movie? Air Bud. Yeah. Air Bud. someone else said, you've got to include The Air Up There, which is that Kevin Bacon movie where he teaches the Africans. He goes to a village and teaches them how to play basketball. But
I can't believe that exists.
Yeah, yikes.
Yeah.
The Air Up There? That's what it's called.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God.
Did any of you, that's why I didn't put it in the poll. But did any of you think of a basketball movie that did not come up? Right?
Heroin Diaries.
Okay.
It is mostly about heroin.
Basketball Diaries?
Or yeah, Basketball Diaries. I called it Heroin Diaries. That's what it should have been called, though, because it was mostly heroin.
Right, there was so little basketball, so much heroin.
I thought it was a basketball movie, and then it just became not at all a basketball movie. But it's still like a theme throughout.
Yeah, that was hard to sneaky.
It's hard to play basketball on heroin.
Yeah, you just keep nodding off.
Yeah, that's why that was the first. That's when people first knew he had a problem because he stopped playing basketball.
It's the number one side.
Yeah, I thought of The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Uh huh.
Is a basketball movie.
Loving Basketball is a great movie.
Oh, there you go.
Oh yeah.
I think that would have fared quite well in this.
That would have been a tough one against White Man Can't Jump because
this
people
poll
love
is
movie.
Flawed. I do think
there's also
like,
Air Bud.
Yeah, that's Air what I thought. I said Air Bud when I was trying to think of that Air Up There movie. But yeah, but that's the thing. Basketball, not a huge genre, but also not a lot of like terrible. Well, I guess they're probably
yeah,
some terrible
the batting
ones.
Average is pretty good.
Yes.
Pun intended.
Exactly. So
the free throw percentage is good.
Exactly. So congratulations to Gabe Molica. What would you like? You get to go first in plugging stuff. So what would you like to promote?
I'm on the road all of April, Minneapolis, Chicago, a week of shows in Boston of my solo show. Please, if you're in Boston, buy tickets to that. And Los Angeles, Doug, I was going to invite you. April 26th, I'm at UCB. I will send you an email.
Oh, nifty. What's the date again?
April 26th in LA at UCB LA.
Okay. All right. Yeah, definitely hit me up. And Samantha Ruddy, what do you want to promote?
Doug, I want to promote my special, which is coming out May 28th, Baseball Mom. And also I want to promote my social accounts so that you can follow me and see when it comes out, because that's a long time from now. Follow me at Samly Matters, SamlyMatters on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever. Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
Well, listen, you know what? I was going to, you know, we talked about, I did ask you to do this today last minute, and because you had been on the books for doing it in May, closer to the date of your release. So let's just keep that other date, because that is so far off from now still. Let's why don't you come back on May 19th, and then we'll remind everybody about the special.
Thanks, Doug. I love that. That almost feels as good as winning.
Almost. It's not the same. So we have to be but clear.
I appreciate it.
The game won, and you got a nice consolation prize. Ben, of course, gets to share the stage with me on Sunday night in Sunnyvale, California, at one of the classiest comedy clubs, Rooster Teeth Feathers. You don't let the name fool you. What else have you got to promote, Ben Kalina?
Just my socials, Ben, Twitter and Instagram. And then for people in the Bay Area and San Francisco, every Monday at the Abbey Tavern, Monday Mirthquake, the greatest comedy show in the world.
Monday Mirthquake every Monday in Abbey San Tavern. Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That sounds super fun. Well, thank you all for being here. I am going to be doing a Benson movie interruption Tuesday night, tomorrow night, probably. People listen to this, the first listeners will hear about how tomorrow night I'm going to be at Dynasty Typewriter with the Benson movie interruption with Ricky Lindholm, Paul F. Tompkins, and more special guests. Go to DougLovesMovies.com for all of my dates and deets and links. And I picked out for my closing line today, it's always, you know, the last line of a movie. And so I researched and found out the last line of Hoosiers, spoken by Gene Hackman. As always, I love you guys.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves.